I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome to a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We are deep diving every single episode. We are currently in season 14, episode 21-22, Bad Reputation and Fight for Your Mind. We're only doing two episodes this week because next week we're going to be doing the final two episodes of season 14.
Crazy.
Which I cannot believe that we're already there. Just so you all know, if this is your first time listening, we are a spoilers podcast. So if you haven't seen the show, then make sure to hit pause, go back, watch the entire show up to season 14.
Up to season 18.
No, I'm sorry. Up to season 18. And then you can come back and listen to this. There are a couple ways that you can support us. You can become a patron at patreon.com/theoncallroom.
It's like a cool club.
It's super cool.
You can be an intern, a resident, or an attending, depending on how much you are able to share with us. And that those dollars go directly into making sure that we can put out this podcast weekly. You also get bonus episodes. You get Zoom hangouts. You get post-op, which is at the end of an episode, we keep recording for around 5 to 10 extra minutes. Today's post-op topic is going to be about a Bailey teaching moment with Vic Roy, one of the new interns. So that won't be discussed in the normal discussion. You'll have to be a patron to get that. So you can do that at patreon.com/theoncallroom.
You can also follow us at Instagram or on Instagram.
Or at it.
Or at it at the on-call room pod. And you can leave us a review. We haven't had a new review in a while. I just checked today.
I know.
That's okay, though, because I would rather have no reviews than bad reviews. So if you are going to leave a review, please make sure it's 5 scalpels. Anywhere you listen, Spotify, Apple, all of them are appreciated.
I was about to say Twitch, but that's we're not there.
What is Twitch?
Twitch is like where gamers live stream. We could... Oh, an email.
Oopsie.
So also, I just wanted to say, your reviews are like little love letters to us. I remember last week, Brie was like, speaking of bad reviews, you were said something like, oh, we got a message I would ever have to read. And I go, is it going to ruin my day or is it going to be okay? So if you have constructive criticism, don't put it in a review. Send us a message.
Yeah. You can send us a message on Instagram or you can email us at the on-call... No. At... No. On-call room. Wait. The on-call...
The on-call room... The on-call room pod at gmail.com?
That's right. Yeah. We're going to say that one more time. The on-call room pod at gmail.com.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Here we are.
Here we are. I had a really great weekend. I went up to Traverse City, up North Michigan, do it every summer. And it was really nice. This time we stayed on a vineyard, which was really pretty. And there was like a place to have a fire. And it was really nice. And I just want to tell a very quick story about kayaking. This year,
good.
I had said, I'm not going to break down.
Or get left behind.
I had said, even if I get left behind, I'm not going to break down because every year John kayaks away from me and every year I get mad at him. And so I was like, I'm walking into this just knowing he's going to do it and I'm not going to get mad.
Yeah.
So I was doing really well. And there on this river, which we didn't do this river last year, but we usually do this river. It's the Crystal River and you have to portage 3 times.
Where you get and carry your kayak?
Yes. But the second portage, you can... either portage across the road, or you can do this thing called shoot the tube, where you put your kayak through a tube.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, you go down and there's water, and then you like have to turn in the river when you get out.
Are you on the tube or are you on the kayak when it goes
through
the tube?
You're on the kayak.
Oh, so you go through the tube.
So you like flip your paddle and you lay down and you go down this tube.
Okay, okay.
Everyone's always done it. I never do it because I'm always really afraid. But I was with someone who usually doesn't do it, didn't come on the trip this time.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, fuck, I'm the only one who would be portaging. And so I just made the choice. I was like, I guess I have to do it.
Gotta shoot the tube.
I have to shoot the tube. And so I'm like asking all these questions before we get up to it. They explain like, okay, you're just going to turn your paddle and you're like going to lay down. And then you'll know when you get out, you have to put your left paddle down so it will turn you to the left so you don't hit a tree. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And I was like,
I'm stressed thinking about this.
I was like, well, what happens if I hit a tree? And they're like, you'll be fine. Like it will be, you'll just have to like back out.
Are these kayaks you're sitting on top of?
Yes.
Okay.
So Reva goes down the tube first. Everything's fine. I go down the tube I miss the tube and my kayak hits the outside.
It's like me in the slide at Great Wolf Lodge.
Absolutely. Not a big deal, but then I have to reverse. So I've held up the line of people. This is important. Sister Rachel's behind me. And so she has had to kind of back up and stop, get me to
Are these
wait for
waters
me.
Moving?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
okay.
Get me to allow me to be able to move backwards to then go down this tube. I make it down the tube. It actually was much slower. And when they had said shoot the tube, I thought you were going full on vertical, like a roller coaster. It's like just running water.
Okay. You're just, but you're in a tube.
So had I had known that, I probably would have done that years ago. But so I do it. I turn.
I'm like thinking everyone's doing a 90 vert.
Yes. Yes. Drop. That is 100% what I thought was happening. And so, but then when you get down on that part of the river, that part, the current speeds up really fast. So Reva's kind of partway down the river. I turn fine. I'm coming partway down the river. We kind of try and stop on the sandbar, like brush.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for Rachel to come and she's not coming.
Oh no.
She's not coming. And finally, I was like, is she okay? And then we just start seeing things coming down the tubes. Her flip-flops, her hat. And I will tell you that everyone told me, including my sister, there's no way to flip your kayak going down this tube. There's no way you can mess it up. And we kind of hear some screaming. I mean, sunscreen's coming down. We're just watching all these things come down. So she finally comes down the tube. She's laughing her ass off. She is in her kayak, which is good. And then more people start coming down. And we finally get the full story. So I guess what had happened was because I missed it, she backed up and she got stuck on a log. And so when she tried to get off of the log, the current pulled her, but she forgot to turn her paddle.
Was she stuck?
So she was stuck. Her kayak was starting to go down the tube, but she was holding on. So all this water rushed into her kayak and then rushed back and pulled all of her stuff out of the kayak. Somehow, she said her kayak was kind of turned. Her foot was on the cement. She pushed herself
like
up.
Like of the tube.
Of
like
the tube.
Okay, okay.
And she pushed herself up and was able to quickly turn the paddle and go down. And but then as I remember, the current was super fast. So Reva and I are way down the river and her flip-flops start floating towards me and her hat.
Sunscreen.
And they're like, grab it. So I'm like trying to grab all this stuff. And
did her phone get lost?
Thank God she had one of those things and her husband made her wear it around her neck. Because otherwise her phone would have been gone. And she has lost her phone in this river before.
I can hear Adam being like, that's why you wear it around your neck. Like just like just scoffing in the corner.
It was so funny. And it was like, I wish it was funny seeing everything come down the tube, but also kind of scary.
We're wondering like, where she was.
But I would have loved to have been on the other side behind watching that all happen.
And there's a line of people.
And we were like kind of asking them, like, what did you do? What? And they were like, we didn't know what to
do. There's
like no way to help her like figure it out. And I'm just so grateful that wasn't me because I would have.
You'd never shoot the tube again.
I would never shoot the tube. But at the end, I bought a sticker that says, I shot the tube in Glen Arbor, Michigan.
Oh, it's like a thing.
Oh, yeah. It's the river. It's like they have a big sign called like shoot the tube or whatever. It's like a thing on this
Is
river.
Is it thrilling at all?
Well, it is pretty fun to go down. Okay. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm in this like tube.
Are there spiders in the tube?
No. Okay. Some years you're not allowed to do it because the water's too high. And that's the year my sister Rachel still shot the tube and she screamed up, don't shoot the tube, like Portage, because it went way too fast and she slammed into the tree. So that is my memory of like her screaming, don't shoot the tube.
Yeah, so
and
that then, imprinted on you.
And then when I was in it, I was like, well, it was kind of like being
in
Michigan's Adventure. Like, ooh, it's dark in here.
Did you have that same stream of consciousness?
Yeah, so it was shooting the tube right now. It was a really big deal for me.
I was going to say, that's like a growth moment.
It was a huge growth moment. So this is the last part. We're almost done kayaking. Like, we've third Portage, and they're like, that's about 15 minutes left of the river. And people were like stuck behind. Some people had to pee. I can't tell you how many times we got out of our kayaks to pee. And so Reva and I like turned into like an area and I turned into the brush. I turned into a fucking spider tree.
Oh, no, I no, turned there's into so a many spider water tree. Spiders.
And like literally 3 minutes before I had turned to Reva and I was like, I did it. I didn't have a breakdown during this kayaking trip. I'm so proud. I like start to try and push myself out of this brush. I can see directly in front of my face there is a huge spider and it is pulling me in. I'm about to smash my face into a spider and I just start screaming, oh, I'm not kidding, guys. I'm about to lose it. I'm really, really, I'm really about to lose it right now. And Reva's like, what are you? Grab my paddle. Yeah. And it was like one of those panic moments.
Everyone's freaking.
I got myself out of it. It was fine. I apologized for yelling. And I was like, fuck, I almost made it without freaking out on this guy.
I feel strongly that you will next year.
Yes. I think I shouldn't have said it until I actually ended the trip. It was too soon.
Face to a spider, though, is just too much.
There's just so much panic.
Water spiders are big.
Yeah. And like, it was one of those brushes that I couldn't lay down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was too much that I would have literally put my face into a spider.
No.
So anyway, that was it. That was my story.
Meanwhile, speaking of spiders, probably a mosquito. I got bit by something on my ankle. And it's the kind of bug bite where you can't stop itching it. Itching it feels so good, but like also hurts. But then every time you itch it, it's like so much worse. And I thought I was done for the summer, but this one is like haunting me.
I was on a walk this morning and I looked down and I had 3 huge mosquito bites on my leg. And I was like,
yeah, are those it's recent? Humid out.
Or was that from the trip? Was that?
It's probably from the brush.
It was probably from just walking today. It was humid as fuck out
there.
Yeah,
it was like wet out.
Yeah.
It was gross. But we always give you a weather update.
Always. We had a huge thunderstorm today.
Yeah, I got here and Brie was just sitting on her front porch reading a book. It was really cute.
Yeah, it was really like about to end my vacation. I have orientation tomorrow.
Oh, no, that's too...
Oh, you know what?
I thought it was 2 weeks.
No, it was only a week and a half. I start class on Wednesday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I realized today I had to buy a fucking parking pass. I've been online for so long.
You forgot that's even a thing.
$150 for a semester.
Ooh, no.
No, I know. I forgot what it's like to like drive to a university.
I don't even think you could buy a parking pass at MSU. I think they were just like, sorry, you can't park here.
Yeah.
I would just evade the ticket people.
I also feel like Michigan State was not like a commuting
that's
school.
That's true.
Like most people lived, even if you lived off of campus, it was by campus. They had buses to take you.
But it's
you
like,
in.
If I missed the bus, I would remember being like, well, there's no, I can't go. Because there was like nowhere to park.
There were so many. Remember when you would be at a bus stop and it would be like at the dorms and it would be wind chill negative 1,000 and the bus would be too full. It would just pass. I would go back to bed. I'd be like, fuck that. I'm not going to class.
And that's why you left after
that's
1 year.
That's why I left Michigan State.
The buses.
Yeah, the buses.
Okay. I feel like we have a lot of grays to talk about. We have some things to get through. We're almost to the finale. I told Brie that when we watched these, I wanted to just finish because I was into it.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I just really like this season. We're almost to the end and I think I like this season.
I think I like it too. I'm interested to see what you rate it. Don't tell me yet, but...
I haven't yet.
Okay.
I saw your rating though. But
I could change because sometimes we talk about it and I'm like, bump it up or down. You know? So.
Okay. So I'll do the first. This is season 14, episode 21 and 22, Bad Reputation and Fight for Your Mind. In your first year as an attending surgeon, you're told to take baby steps. Look for the easy cases, the sure wins. No sense of making an ass of yourself. Better to rack up some easy victories. You can't avoid bad outcomes for your whole career, but you sure can try. because getting a bad reputation can finish you before you start. We define ourselves by our actions, but it doesn't mean we have to live by that definition. We can change our own story. We can refuse to accept the way people define us. We can work like hell to escape a bad reputation, only to wonder if we succeeded. It can be hard to shake the mistakes of the past. They'll always come back to haunt us. But one thing we never do, we don't stop. We don't quit. We get up and we rejoin the fight. Meredith Grey.
Before surgery...
Surgery.
Excuse me. Wow.
That's the voice that comes out of you.
Before surgery...
Oh, no.
Before surgery, we ask patients a series of questions. Stop. Okay, I'm going to start again.
I'm going to take
This is for real. You're going to spit that out. Before surgery, we ask patients a series of questions. Do you have a job to return to? Do you have a support system at home? We're screening for mental illness, anxiety, depression, delusions. We need to make sure you're of sound mind. We need to make sure you know what to expect. But if we check patients for mental illness, why not surgeons? Someone should really get on that.
They really should.
Yeah, that's true. Fixing your mental health isn't like surgery. You can't just run the blood work and check the vitals. With mental health, progress is way harder to measure. And if something's wrong, we have to take action. There's a lot of uncertainty. There is a lot of fear. And what might be easy for one person, for someone else, might take inner strength you can't even imagine. But we have to try. We have to stand up to our demons. We have to face reality whenever possible and ask for help when we can't. And when we do that, healing is possible. Meredith Grey.
I feel like I didn't listen to that when it was happening.
It feels like it goes with the episode.
Yeah, that's great. Great writing. Okay. We have a small shotgun workup today. We have Diego Ramirez, fibrous dysplasia, craniofacial dysplasia.
We have Milo Yankovic.
Sure.
Yankovic. What?
Lodged.
Oh.
That's an L. Iodged object.
Lodged object.
Teresa Benson, tomophobia, pregnancy, fetal spina bifida.
I can't read
I'll
today.
Read the first round. You can have a second.
Okay,
we have everyone.
So do we.
Oh, oops. Plus, I needed to delete this first sentence. In a turn of events, everyone finds out that Jackson is the anonymous donor for the research program. This happens at the same time that the media and the public are attacking the Harper Avery Foundation for his allegations of sexual harassment. Catherine hired a crisis team to help her put together a statement where she will take the fall for Harper Avery so that the foundation can continue on. While working on an incredibly large face tumor patient, Jackson and Meredith get the idea on how to save Catherine's legacy and build a better and brighter future. They write a statement for Catherine claiming that they will be starting with systemic change from the ground up and the Harper Avery Foundation will instead be reborn as the Catherine Fox Foundation. Jackson ends up paying for all of the personal settlements out of his own money, but makes sure to save a chunk of money for his daughter, Harriet.
Alex and Joe are wedding planning when suddenly Alex checks his bank account and gets super moody and upset. The nurse, Olivia, who used to hook up with him in earlier seasons and who he gave syphilis to, also comes to the hospital with her son, who swallowed a whistle. She tells Joe about Alex being evil spawn, and Joe thinks that this is why he is so upset. What we find out later is that when he checked his bank account, he realized that his mom has not been cashing the checks he has been sending her for rent and food, which means she is either dead or on the streets. Joe and Alex fly to where his mother lives and find out she's back at work at her old job at the library. Alex visits her and gets upset that when she's finally doing well, it's too late in life and it wasn't when he needed it the most. His mother requires stability for her schizophrenia to stay at bay. And although he introduces Joe to his mom, she is unsure if she can make it to the wedding or not.
Sophia is unhappy and constantly missing school, and Arizona doesn't know what to do. She goes to Karina for advice as well as Owen. She starts to wonder what Karina feels about kids and learns that Karina thinks she is babying Sophia too much. After working with a pregnant mother, Arizona realizes that she must do what is best for Sophia if she is able to. She calls Callie and says that she thinks that Sophia should come back to New York and that she should come with her. Arizona ends it with Karina, who says that she just wishes that what was best for Sophia wasn't worse for her.
Owen takes Leo to his first checkup appointment at the hospital, where his birth mom, Betty, comes to meet them. Betty is just a teenager who started using opiates after she was prescribed some for a surgery. She's been using for 2 years. Amelia feels a connection with her and decides that she wants to be her sponsor. She knows she can't bring Betty into Meredith's house, so Owen offers his place for the two of them to live as a way to try and reunite Betty and Leo. After a few days of detoxing, Betty leaves the house without telling Amelia and doesn't come home. Amelia attends a meeting where she talks about how difficult the opioid crisis is and how she wishes she could do something to stop it.
We're going to talk about Vic Roy in post-op. Meredith is going to give a speech on her new science of growing livers, and before it, she heads to Joe's bar to drink some coffee. She meets a man there, and she ends up divulging what has happened with Marie Cerrone to him. Through conversation and deep thought, when she finally gives her speech, she starts it by telling everyone that the previously known Gray method will now be known as the Gray Cerrone method. After the speech, Marie tries to come up to Meredith to a talk, and Meredith tells her that she has said all she needs to say.
First notes.
What's yours?
I said, DeLuca lives with Mare. I don't remember this. And then I said, oh, he's there because of Maggie.
Yeah, I liked that. Well, that's what I thought was funny is that she refers to him as, Zola calls him Maggie's friend. So yeah. This is like before him and Meredith are really friends.
Yes.
And I love that Meredith is like, I'm going to the hospital. You know, the big building with a lot of sick people inside that you work at. Her sarcasm in towards him was very funny to me.
Yes. I was kind of wondering with that whole storyline if we were going to learn about DeLuca's bipolar disorder.
Yeah, like is this just him being sad?
And it didn't come up. So yeah. I don't think that is what they were hinting at. And maybe they can call back to that or whatever, but I couldn't remember I don't think we'd learn about that until after him and
Meredith. I think it's season 16.
Yeah, like have been together.
Yes, I agree. I feel like why don't his sister and him ever not yell at each other? Like, you know, Meredith eventually calls Karina to come help. Like they are always just yelling.
Oh, why do they never not?
Sorry. Yeah. They never talk at a normal volume.
Maybe it's an Italian thing.
I don't know. If you're Italian, do you yell only?
I mean, my family is Italian and they talk very loudly. Yeah. So
they're always just yelling.
Very expressive.
Yeah, very expressive. I don't know what to make of. I didn't know he played guitar.
I don't think he plays it well.
It seemed okay though. She was really shitting on it. And I was like, I mean, it doesn't sound that bad.
I mean, it wasn't good. What he was doing, just laying around being sad on someone else's couch is not great.
I like how she's like, the couch might have to go after this. Yeah. A gross man's been on it for that long.
I thought it was nice though that Maggie was the one to bring him there.
Yes.
Like recognize he wasn't okay.
Because they dated.
Yeah, yeah. And that she like reached out to him as a friend and like he doesn't have a place to say. So
when he was grumpy at work and she was like, hello, I would say it's nice to see you at work. But like he was just barking at all of the interns.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I really have to say about him. Yeah. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's talk about, well, let's just start with the Jackson, with the contest and also, the Catherine Fox Foundation.
Yeah. I don't remember this being such a convenient fix.
Okay. I have the same note. I'm like, that was wrapped up super fast.
I remember it being such a big deal and it seems like it's fine now.
Yeah, like it was one, well, it was like two episodes. It like came out.
He's ruining us.
And then it was like this episode where they're like, we found the fix. I remember it being way longer than that. And I was kind of annoyed that it was only two episodes.
Same. I didn't want to watch more episodes of it, but it didn't seem realistic. I also didn't know how just coming up with a statement like, oh, we're renaming. I know that they're going to make changes, but I was like putting myself in the shoes of like the general public hearing about this. And I'd be like, how, why, what?
Well, I think one of the biggest parts that would like make a difference was all of those people that were fired and had the NDAs could be rehired wages would be paid to them.
That Jackson was paying.
Yes. I think that's a big part of it. It's like the accountability and like, so
what they were going to do was so stupid.
Yeah.
What a dumb crisis team. She was annoying.
She was very annoying.
Anytime they bring in an expert onto Grays and an expert in something else, they're always horrible.
Yeah. I did appreciate like Jackson standing up for his mom and was like, I'm not going to have like
a powerful black woman take the blame for a white man who couldn't keep his hands to himself.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great, I wrote that down because I thought that was powerful.
Yeah. I thought the whole dynamic too between Meredith and Jackson the whole time was really interesting.
Yeah.
And you could tell she was really struggling with like, especially in the, I think it was the second episode where she was talking about Marie Cerrone and stuff of like, being mad at someone, but then understanding why they did it, but then going back to being mad at them.
It's like more than just one thing.
Yeah, it's so many different things. And I think it was a similar thing with the foundation and how she gets super mad at Jackson because she's like, don't compare my mother to your grandfather, which is not what he was doing.
No, I like that he came back around and was like, I was actually comparing my mom and your mom, which also I feel like they kind of rang back to that when April said to Maggie, like, Jackson is a good guy. Like, his morals are in the right place, which I think, again, it's like you misinterpreted him, but he's never doing things like out of like a bad morality. You know, there's always a reason for what he does.
Yeah, I really loved that April part because... you can tell, like, Maggie, I feel like, and throughout their relationship,
been hard on him.
She's been so quick to jump at, like, he is doing something wrong. There's something immoral about him. He's being sneaky, all these different things. And I love that April was like, when April said, oh, I'm sure, or he has a reason, Maggie's like, well, what's the reason? She's like, well, I don't know.
Right.
But I'm sure he has it because I know him and I know him well enough to know that his morals are in the right place. And then she tells Maggie, like, you owe him the benefit of your doubt.
Yes. I love that statement as well. It's also so sad. They're like so clearly wrapping up things like April, like being okay with him dating someone else and like standing up for him and just being like, he's a good guy. You know, it's like we're making our way towards these like amends.
Even like with the money for Harriet and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
There's all these little things like, thank you, she will appreciate this. And like which is really kind of surprising to me that April
accepted it.
No, not accepted it, but like I can see that it's a very like, I don't know. I think it was just a way to wrap it up. But to me, I feel like April will be like this person, like, she doesn't need that money or
yeah, whatever. I grew up on a farm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think, too, I did the humor to me in them finding out about Jackson being the donor was the way that, like, the state of blame, like how it went from one person to the other. And then it turns out just Weber is the, you know, but really he didn't even know either that it was Jackson. Yes. I just thought that was a very funny, like, turn of events. And I think it was important that we know that like he did that again because like he can't get a Harper Avery. He wanted to play in the game.
Yeah. I felt really bad too that like Meredith says this thing. Like they're all in the beginning saying to Jackson, like, oh, you were gonna, like it was rigged. Like expected to win this thing. And it's like you all have worked with Jackson for so long. You would know that he just wanted to compete. And he points that out. Like, look at what this competition created.
He lists all the thing and then he goes, Bailey's butt thing. Because I feel like none of us really quite understand what that is yet.
But all in all, it just seemed to wrap up really quickly.
Yeah.
And I found that odd.
I feel like I was supposed to get emotional when she's reading that statement, Catherine is. And I do think it's really special. I just didn't think part of me was like, why didn't she think of that? Like if she's such an intelligent, quick, like person, I'm just really surprised that she thought she'd have to take the fall and that's the only solution. Like, I think that's what felt surprising to me.
I wonder though, if you're the one who's in the crisis,
you like, don't even think.
Yeah. It's like you, I did these things. Like
that's true.
It's like the only way that we can get out of this is someone's going to have to. And well, the person that they hired was like, someone has to take the blame for this.
Right.
And so who's it going to be?
And she didn't want it to be Jackson. Right. I love that Richard.
It's a very motherly thing.
That Richard was also like, wait a second. Like, let's, you know, like he couldn't let her do that.
Yeah.
Very convenient timing.
Yeah. So, but it is interesting. We talked about a couple episodes ago, or last episode, I don't remember which one, but how before we knew how this all like played out, we couldn't remember. And we both kind of were like, it's interesting that like the person who signed the NDAs would be
the
new name on the foundation.
I feel like that would not fly.
Yeah, like in real life, I really don't think that would
even
fly.
Even though I like, we know her character.
Yes.
We know why. We know that she like didn't really have a choice and that she thought she was doing the best thing. But I don't think that would fly in real life. There would be, none of them would be allowed to be a part of it anymore.
No, absolutely not. And they could still say like, we're going to start this new foundation or like, we're going to pay back whatever, but I don't know.
It feels convenient. It feels like they needed a way to get this into the show, like this type of a thing, like a big wig, man with power, harassing women, yes. it coming out. And this is how they chose to do it. Because they didn't want to do it to Richard. They yeah. couldn't do it to like someone on the show that we like, you yeah. know?
You know how we've talked about in like current seasons, how sometimes it feels like they're
yes.
talking about—
Which like, I want to talk about this in our bonus episode.
What?
Like how they are being so literal
yes.
with storylines.
Yes. Okay.
I'll talk. There's a, I don't think I'll, we'll discuss.
Okay. Okay. But the one thing I want to say, because there's that part where they're scrubbing and he's like, and she's like, how does it get this way or whatever? And Jackson's like, how many ever years of the patriarchy, yes. whatever, you know? And I was like, but what was interesting to me is it felt different watching it now than it did watching it in season 14. Like oh. I didn't feel, because that's, not that that's come and gone, but like Me Too, we've lived it for many years now.
Yes.
It felt a little less like in the in moment your- preachy to me. It just felt like more dialogue.
I honestly wonder if when we watch the COVID season again, if I will feel differently about it, because I mean, I know that it's still there and we're still in this, but it's a different time of in this. There's more solutions.
Yeah.
And I just very much wonder what it will feel like to watch it, if I will appreciate it more or if I'll still hate it.
Or still hate it. Yeah. I don't know.
I do want to talk about the beach again, though.
Are we going to do the whole COVID season?
I don't know. Maybe we do it in like a couple of episodes, you know, just like a,
like half and half.
Like one about the beach, one about COVID.
Yeah. Yeah,
I want to have a whole podcast about the beach.
I would love to have an episode about Bailey's parents, because that was a really—
Yeah, so we do one about Bailey's parents.
Yeah.
One about COVID in general. One about everything that happens on the beach stays on the beach. Yeah. What happens in Cabo stays in Cabo. Yes. I'm rewatching Laguna Beach.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about Alex and Joe.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, another seed is planted. April plans this wedding, which is why it makes sense mm-hmm. that she ends up using it as her own. I forgot that aspect of
it. I totally forgot about that. All the wedding venues April is naming, LOL.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like the green shutter.
I mean,
something.
I wish I could, I can't even, why can't I mean, the blue door, blue barn.
Yeah, I was trying to.
Sundance Studios.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, like, is this very much wedding venue names?
Yeah, why, it's like all of a sudden, why am I like blanking on the names of—
yeah.
places, but yeah, many barn venues, I feel like, are which cobblestone.
Which is very much
Castle Rock.
April's theme.
Yes, for sure. I love that she was like, I planned a great wedding other than the fact that I left it, which it was beautiful. Remember, out of all of the Grace weddings, yes. it was like the most beautiful.
Yeah.
So she's going to plan their wedding. It was fun to see Olivia. I kind of forgot that this happened. I don't care so much. I think it's more just the nostalgia in me is like, oh, like it was fun hearing her say like all like evil spawn, hearing the phrase evil spawn. I really loved the moment when Alex is walking Levi through that surgery and he is so blasé. Like he's just like so annoyed. And he's just like, he says something like, yeah, I've changed. And he was just like, they used to call me evil spawn. Like I love that he admits that thunder. I don't think they're gonna be able to hear it, but it's thundering.
Very loud.
But I love that he is like, they used to call me evil spawn. You know, I just, yeah. any reference to, because he was a dick. He was,
yeah. What I think, what I liked about it was he didn't try and like, he didn't ruffle anything.
No.
He didn't try and defend himself to Olivia. He was like, I'm here to help your kid. He just kind of kept his head down.
Yes.
I also felt like it was very much Alex not to apologize either. Yeah. Like, you know, not to be like, I'm sorry I gave you syphilis.
Yeah, because it's like, over it.
What the fuck ever. And I loved at the end when she's like, she's too good for you, know? And he's like, you don't think I know that? Like, he's
yes.
very aware of that.
And I loved when he talks to Olivia's kid and he goes, he was like, you know, don't swallow a whistle. And the little kid is like, it was a really dumb thing to do. And then he was like, we all do dumb things. But that kid, the way he talked made me laugh. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But yeah, I missed that part when she says that she's too good for you.
Yeah. I love the other part I really liked is when Levi is trying to figure out if he has syphilis yes. with Joan. Just like, can we just get down to it? She's like, no, we can't.
Also, I will say though, what I don't love, there are parts of their relationship that feel really great. And like that statement that he made, like the, yeah, I know she is, like whatever. Them running up that hill and then making out.
Oh my God, I have a note about
who
that.
Does
I'm
that?
Like, why are they running around in love so much and kissing? It is outrageous, their behavior. I think it's to show the contrast of like, they're so in love. And then all of a sudden she's like, where are we going to get married? And he's super angry. I think it was to show like something is shifted.
His mood changed. I thought I've never run on a hill and then made out with Jake.
No, because it's not normal and no one does that kind of shit. And if you do, right into the podcast. Yes,
and tell us. Okay, so the stuff with his mom, though, I had some feelings. I feel like this woman, I liked the way she acted as Alex's mom. Mm-hmm. It felt like a very realistic sort of response. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know, I do not know enough or anything actually about schizophrenia, but I thought it was interesting and great how like she has this structure and this system and that like even him being there sort of disrupted that. And then he brings all these big feelings and he's bringing up the past and he's whatever. I felt like her reaction of being flustered by that and then also Alex's reaction of when he finally gets down to it. I hate the batting cage. That was dumb. But like...
you do?
Well, I don't hate it. It made me think of Joe throwing the balls at the wall in her therapy. So actually I didn't hate it. It was just...
Okay, keep going.
Interesting.
Keep going.
I think what I mean is I hate batting cages.
Oh, yeah, they're terrifying.
But I love that when he finally, it's almost like when you're in therapy and you're beating around the subject and you're beating around the subject and then you finally say what you mean. And when he says like, she's good now, but why wasn't she then? Like when mm-hmm. I needed her, like this, that part when he yells about his siblings, like mm-hmm. they needed a mom, whatever. And I don't know. I've had feelings about it.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't know that schizophrenia can, she says it burns itself out. Yeah. I didn't know that. I found, and I feel like they wouldn't put that into Grey's if it doesn't happen sometimes.
Yeah. Or I like the way that she said the volume is down.
Yeah.
Like it's still there, but medication works better and the volume is down.
Yeah. And then when she tells him that she needs him to go because she's getting really upset, and it was like, it's so good to me because it's like, I feel like that would be a really good episode to do a paper on. I'm going to
hold that.
Yeah. Because I feel like that system of like, he is upset and he's expecting his mom to react in a certain way. And she does. I mean, she gets upset at him uh-huh. And then like kind of pushes him away. And like, so that makes him really upset too. And so instead of like her being better and her wanting to include him and bring him in,
she has new boundaries.
She has. Yeah. And it's like completely disrupting the system.
Family system.
And I think it's brilliant. The other thing, like brilliant writing, the other thing I really loved about this episode was Joe. I felt like she gave Karev so much space. Number uh-huh. one, like she doesn't come in to meet his mom at all at first.
Right, right.
And then when I just think of this feeling when like they're at the batting cages and he's like, this is stupid. Like when you're so mad and your partner is like, yeah, then let it be stupid.
Right.
And he starts like talking. And I feel like sometimes we can let ourselves say and feel what we need to feel when we're doing a task yes. or something.
Yes.
And then I loved her line of like, what makes you angry about that? And it's like, she like opened up a space for him to talk about it. I thought Justin Chambers' acting was great.
So good.
I thought it was really, really good. And then at the end, I felt so bad when Joel like kind of tries to hug her, but she like shakes her hand. And then like she goes to get on the bus and I thought that Joe did such a good job as a partner because you can tell that Joe's been through it in her life, that she doesn't need to be the fiance who like knows the mom.
Yes.
She is completely there for Alex and what he needs. And I really, really liked that.
Yeah, it just really felt like she knew what to do to get him to realize what he was actually upset about. And then also realize that like, he can be upset about this and it can be growth that his mom got better mm-hmm. or is getting better. I felt so bad for him when he has that realization and he says, I'm out here living my life and throwing my money at problems. Like it's like, cause I think sometimes when like you have a family member who's not doing as well, you can have that guilt of like, I'm out here being fine and
yeah.
they're not. And I don't know, this is before he knew what, if his mom was okay or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that like him being, that's what he was upset about. Like, I think he was mad at himself. Like I wasn't even paying attention. Like my life's so good. And you know, and so I feel like that was really sad. This is like the Alex, we love the damaged, like real part of him, which is why it's so sad when he leaves. I also loved at the end though, when the mom is like, would you like to do the stamp?
Yeah.
And like, because it's something they used to do. It's a pattern.
And it's something they used to do when she was healthy.
Yes. And I like that he doesn't scoff at it or anything. And he, you know, thinks this is archaic, but it was cute. It was really,
yeah.
And what does she say to him? She says like, you are my, my love. You are my true love, or my heart. She says something to him at the end before she gets on the bus. She like holds his head. It's very sweet. So yeah. More things we learn about Alex.
Yeah.
And I do, his mom comes to Seattle.
Yes, she does. She's not doing well, I believe.
Right. I remember her sewing a lot of baby hats.
Yes. Yeah. Or knitting or something.
Something. Yeah.
At a party.
I loved how right. Yeah. I love, I like Jackson's house.
Yeah.
I love how right before, he introduces Joe. He's like, I've never introduced a girl to my mom before, which is a lie. That one girlfriend was there in the past. Yeah. But Joe's like, don't tell me that. Like, you idiot.
Yeah. All in all, great performances by the two of them.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about Sophia?
Yeah.
This is why they brought Sophia back.
This is why. And it makes sense
now. And why she went to work with Arizona and why she was having a bad day.
Yeah, it makes sense. But also, I swear to God, and I could be wrong, but didn't Sophia ask to come live with Arizona?
Yeah, Sophia does not know what she wants.
No. I mean, she's like 9, whatever, yeah. But...
She stole that field trip money. Damn.
Wow. Yeah. She got suspended. Bitch got suspended.
It was sad. I loved how April... Oh, so sweet seeing April and Arizona be friends together also, because you know they're both fucking leaving the show.
Yeah.
But like, and they were friends, but I love when April's like, oh my gosh, you know, and then she's like, oh wow, she told you that? And Arizona's like, no, I picked the lock of her diary.
Yeah.
And what did that pregnant mom have? Was she afraid of surgery?
She was afraid of like any type of procedure. Yeah. Okay. And then her dad had died during an appendectomy.
Okay, that's right. That was sad when Arizona went over there.
Yeah, but good doctor. Yeah, like, is that inappropriate? But I don't.
Also, I feel like I've never met a doctor that would go to that level. They'd be like, well, bummer.
Yeah.
What's your name again?
Yeah. Yeah. That was above and beyond, to say the least.
But I guess, I mean, they need Arizona off the show. It doesn't check out to me. Like, I don't want it to happen. I felt like her and Karina were doing really well.
Yeah. I think it was a good storyline, though, to show, like, you would do anything for your kid. And she, like, that I felt like was good writing to wrap in, like, I have to do this for my kid, even though I am doing really well with Karina. Right. Like, I have to do anything for my child.
Yeah, I thought it was the perfect phrasing. That I loved when Karina said the, like, which I already read it, but that I just wish that what was best for Sophia wasn't the worst for me.
Yeah.
I felt like that was a perfect phrasing. It also, like, acknowledges and agrees that what Arizona's doing is the best for Sophia. Like, she's not disagreeing with that.
Yeah. I also think, though, like, obviously, Arizona and Karina have like different views on parenting, like the coddling and
that's
stuff.
That's true. So that wouldn't have worked out.
It really wouldn't have worked out. I love when Owen's like, oh, do you want to like bring her over or whatever? And she's like, Arizona kind of starts to cry. And she's like, see, that's a normal response.
It's
to
when
a
you
human.
Ask everyone for advice and someone until you get the person that tells you the advice you want to hear.
But it's almost like, but Karina's response wasn't even a response. She's like, oh, that's hard.
Right.
And like for being in a relationship with someone, that is not the response. There was no questions, whatever. And so, yeah, the confronting about don't coddle. And then she says the thing about Andrea, like he's laying on a couch. And
which I'm also like, although, like, first of all, his girlfriend got deported.
Yeah.
And also Arizona might have a mental illness.
And Arizona even says that like, well, she was deported. So, yeah. So that's that storyline.
Yeah,
so I don't
she's
really
back. I wonder if we got excited back in the day when she makes the phone call and it's like Callie. Like, yeah. I wonder if we were like, oh, ooh.
Yeah.
You know.
Arizona. Also, I have one note in here. In this episode, and maybe always, she really reminds me of Reese Witherspoon.
She's got those vibes.
Yeah. There was like a couple shots of her where I was like, that looks like Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, I also had a note. Another way of them wrapping up her character to me is when she talks to her patient. I can't think of her name. She brings up about the situation when Callie cut her leg off. And she says something about how I'm very lucky that my wife knew better than I did in that moment what I needed.
Yeah.
She's like, it's like she forgives, which maybe she does before, but I feel like this is like a very roundabout like way of closing up that like she is glad they did that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter anymore. She can still skate. Like her fear was not warranted and that Callie knew better than her.
Yes.
Because I feel like that was their whole fucking thing for years.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I could find that quote. I took it somewhere. But yeah, I felt like that was another like wrapping up moment. Like she feels no animosity towards Callie anymore.
Yeah, that's a good call and a good point. So she would be able to move to New York and like co-parent and blah, blah, blah.
What about Amelia? Well, now we know how Amelia lives with Owen.
Right. And I kind of remembered. I mean, I remembered like the Betty thing, but we know that Owen asks her.
Yes. Which I feel like Owen's being very kind. I don't know if he has alternative motives. I honestly don't think he does in this moment.
I don't think he does because he's kind of like, don't get involved in my stuff. Like,
Leo's mine, Betty's yours.
Yeah, like I'm not going to get involved with that. I don't want to deal with it, but it sounds like you're doing a good thing and you need a space to do it. And his whole thing is like to really bring Leo and Betty back together.
Which is incredible because I think a lot of people, you know, like birth mom is always better. Like if it can be salvaged and things. So I thought it was important that Owen wasn't, I like that he acknowledged like, oh, but I'm getting like attached, but also I'm here to foster, not to, you know? And so I thought that was good. If he'd have been creepy about that, then that would have not sat well with me, but.
Yeah. Felt really bad when Owen was sitting there and Betty was coughing and he's like, can you like, put a mask on.
But also if he didn't know, I'd have been like, fucking stop coughing. Yeah. But yeah, that was sad. It was so sad to me when she said she bought a dress.
I know.
Also that she's like on the street. And I'm sure like, I also know the opioid crisis is like just out of control. So I think it's important they're doing this storyline.
Yeah.
And Amelia, I like when she's like, I'm her Ollie.
Oh my God. That was my next note. Well, before that, she goes to Richard and she's kind of I don't know. Is this crazy? Like I need a meeting. But, and then I think Richard thinks she's wanting to like be in a relationship with someone. And then she's like, no, she's 15. And he's like, you need a priest or not a priest. Yeah. You need a psychiatrist. And she's like, no. I want to like be your sponsor. And so he tells his whole story about Ollie and how Ollie found him and he wasn't ready.
Before he was ready.
Yeah. And so he said, yeah, go ahead and drag Betty. And then I love how he also says it might not work. Mm-hmm. So like, but you do everything you have to do. And then when she shows up, she goes like, oh my God, like I'm her Ollie.
Yeah. Like it makes sense. I like how Owen's like, she's coming. She came. She's here.
And that part really made me cry. Made me want to cry when she said, I'm her Ollie. Also, when Betty is like detoxing and she's yelling at Amelia and she's like, you're pathetic. And Amelia just sits there and Amelia was like, I'm not like,
she says, don't ignore me. Yeah.
Yeah. And she says, I'm not ignoring you. I'm ignoring the demon, your last high. And it knows like this is the last time. And so it's doing everything it can. And I was like, that is such a good visual of detoxing.
And it's separating it from you.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
There's a word for that. Disassociating it. Yeah. Like it's like
externalizing the problem.
Yeah. Like making it, it's this third thing so that you both can be mad at that thing. It's not you. It's this thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that was really brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
She's just reading a book in the corner.
Yes. But then she leaves.
Yeah. Which
Richard said.
And Amelia goes to a meeting, which I thought was great. Like she immediately goes somewhere where she knows she can like talk about it.
Yes. Did she write a script for her? Was she talking about how I wrote her a script for?
She wrote her a prescription for a drug that helps take away the not like the effects of withdrawal.
Yes.
But that was it.
Yeah.
But she was talking about she's written scripts to patients for pain meds. That's what she was talking about.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. And so like she's like, I'm part of the problem. Like we as doctors are part of the problem.
Got it. I'm like, must have missed that part. Because I was like, why is she upset that she wrote her this script that?
Oh, no. You're good.
So anyway, that's that story.
This is so bad. I'm pretty sure, Leo and Owen live together.
Yes, but I do think Betty gets clean, but Betty makes the choice of like,
this is where Leo should live.
Yes.
Okay. I remember Betty's parents coming.
Yes.
So anyways, who was the guy at the bar with Meredith? I was watching and then I feel like I didn't pay attention. And then I was like, I know he was going to the speech, but was he...
He was just going to the speech and then he said he hated her.
Yeah, but why?
Because he had been working on an abdominal wall transplant for years and then Meredith did it.
Oh, okay. I like missed that sentence.
Yeah, he'd like been working for a really long time and then he got like read this paper that like she did it successfully. And that's the whole thing about like no one remembers the second man walking on the moon because she was like, you'll get it.
Yes.
And he was like, that no one will remember the second person.
Right.
Who did it.
Who is like Marie Cerrone in this case.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was a fun. I love that she goes to Joe's bar and drinks coffee,
mm-hmm.
And that he makes her another pot. And I just thought that was fun. And she's playing darts before her speech.
Yeah. And she goes there to escape Marie because she sees Marie at the hospital.
That's right.
And so she goes to kind of hide out and not be at the hospital. What did you think about her not wanting to talk to Marie afterwards?
I thought it was when you were talking about the Harper Avery thing and how two things can be, or what were we talking about? Where two things can be. Yeah. Is that similar to me? Like Meredith can honor Marie, but she doesn't have to be happy about the other parts of it, that she stole the science from her, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Like, I think it's like she can honor her and make sure that she's given credit where credit's due, but that she does not have to be friends with her.
Yeah. And that it was something that she had to take away from her mom, who's deceased and, you know.
It felt like a boundaries.
Yeah. But it's a very gray area.
I'm pretty sure Marie does something good.
Does she?
Or does is at the end of that?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It feels like that's not the end of it. It feels like there might be one thing where she decides to like,
doesn't
want to do the polymer or research anymore or something. Yeah. I don't know. Because she's got her name on that thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you do if someone was blacklisted and you couldn't put their name on it? Would you publish with just your name on it?
Oh, fuck. I would want their permission.
What if they said no? But the world would be changed by you publishing this.
Then I would probably do it for the fact of the science getting out there to do the thing. I think I would be cutthroat.
Yeah.
And just be like, well, I lost a friendship.
Yeah.
But because in my brain, I would justify it with like, that friend should understand that this science needs to go out there, whether her name's on it or not.
Yeah.
Or I'd say, get a fake name, like Joe Wilson did.
Just go get a fake name.
Or J.K. Rowling when she wrote those other books.
Yeah.
She who must not be named. Just want to say that. Okay, so what is that called when you write under another name?
A ghostwriter? No, that's when someone else writes your book. A pseudonym?
Maybe. No. Anyways, podcast ghosts, I'm so sorry.
What is a pseudonym?
A
fictitious name, especially one used by an author.
Shoot. Okay, good. Okay. We're not dumb.
I was like, I don't know what I'm talking about. So are we.
All right, we're going to talk about Vic Roy in Post-Op and Bailey. But do you have any other final notes?
Well, just notes and trivia.
Well, right. But do you have any other things?
Oh, anything else about the episode? I don't think I do. I think I'm good.
Okay. This episode's title originated from the song Bad Reputation, originally sung by various artists.
What? The episode scored 6.54 million viewers.
The song Andrew sings at the beginning of the episode was written by Giacomo Giannotti himself. He was asked to write the song to Sam Bello from his character's perspective.
Interesting. The episode marks the brief return of Olivia Jankovic?
Sure.
Okay. Who was last seen in season 6 episode, I Always Feel Like Somebody's Watching Me.
I always feel like. This episode's title originated from the song Fight for Your Mind, originally sung by Ben Harper. Wow, I had a Ben Harper phase in college.
That doesn't surprise me.
I didn't smoke weed, but I did have a Ben Harper phase, that which feels synonymous.
This episode scored the devil's number of viewers. 6.66 million viewers.
Also,
the mark of the beast.
Who's the singer making banana pancakes?
Jack Johnson?
Yeah, I feel like it was a Ben Harper, Jack Johnson phase.
Driving around in your bug, BMW
bug?
Yeah,
it's
bug.
When that, remember that movie came out, Curious George? Like, it was like a, it wasn't live action.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
But the whole soundtrack was Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
And that's like what I listened to for a long time. Wow. Okay. Jesse Williams revealed the title on Twitter. Cool.
On March 19, 2018, while filming for the episode, a plane with a banner reading, "We love Sarah Drew and Jessica Capshaw," flew over set during lunch. The plane was sent by fans as a reaction to the two actresses leaving at the end of the season. Who the fuck had money to do that? Like, all of us Grace fan, let's get together.
And who knew that they were filming when?
Yeah, and like, let's fly a plane. That's wacky.
The surgery on Teresa Benson is Arizona Robbins' last on-screen surgery. Wow. I'm so sad.
During a scene in the hospital over the speaker, you can hear Dr. Myers being paged, possibly Jason Myers.
Who's that?
Who the fuck is that?
The library scenes were shot at the Walter Reed Middle School in North Hollywood. That school is the old junior high of Lindsay Wagner, who plays Helen Karev.
Goof. In the dart scene, Meredith says she never knew someone who has grown up in Los Angeles. However, her best friend, Christina, is from Beverly Hills. Dumb.
That's funny.
Okay, so I gave my Catherine Fox Award to Meredith. I said she helped Avery come up with a statement and she gave credit to Marie Sorone.
I agreed 100% with that.
Okay.
And I also, oh God, I'm going to rate it. I want to say 7, but I almost want to give it more because I wanted to keep watching. But I'm going to say 7.
Okay, I gave it a 7.5.
Great.
Oh,
but I love the Alex.
I was going to say, I would give the Alex scene like an 8. But
same.
Average at 7.5, but you said 7.
Sure, I said 7.
Great.
But Justin Chambers, a 10.
Always. Always a 10. All right. Thanks for being a patron, everyone. Thanks for listening. What else? Thanks for
hanging out with us.
Next week, season
finale.
14. And then we have season 19?
Yes, starting.
Coming up hot.
Which I imagine we're going to do reactions
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do some reactions. We might be doing, I don't know what we're doing. We might be doing 15 and 19 at the same time.
Yeah, I would love, listeners, if you are listening still and you haven't turned us off yet, if you would let us know, like, do you like the reaction episodes? What are your thoughts on them? Like, do you want those? Do you want also season 15? Like, this is maybe a time where it would be really great. We really should put out a poll, like some sort of survey. But if you have any strong thoughts, especially if you're a patron and you want to put it in the Facebook group, let us know what you're thinking and send us a message on Instagram about what you'd like to hear.
Yeah. Other than that, stick around if you're a $10 patron. Time of death
is
1812. That's
a year.
That's an important year, right?
Beep.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.